Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I want to make a video today about something that is I talk about often, but a lot of people don't pick up on this. And there's another YouTuber, somebody I know very well. I would consider him a friend who's into the Hebraic roots and the Messianic faith. And he's been doing this for a long time. And he sometimes has debates with people from Christianity that say we shouldn't be keeping the law and we shouldn't be following the two houses. And I got up the other day and I saw another video, somebody, one of his followers, requesting that there are these people on the internet coming against the law and Israel, and we should be doing, and the Torah, and he should be doing a series against them. So he's starting a series slash debate, because his series usually end up in a debate. He does this series and then the people contact him, and then he ends up having a debate. And they're quite good, and you could learn a lot. And I'm not saying what he's saying isn't true. And I'm not saying all these people that are attacking the Torah or following the guidelines and instructions are true either or good either. What I'm saying is, with so much focus on who we are, you know, and the law and the Torah and all these things, it kind of leads people, in my opinion, to an idea of a salvation versus a non-salvation issue. And I'm not denouncing anything or saying I'm for something or not something. I'm just saying this. Keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to the best of our knowledge can only help us, can only bless us. However, when people start getting the idea that we're doing it to claim we have salvation through keeping this thing, then we got to clarify more what this is. And I think we need to focus less on, we just got to be careful with our speech in this thing. And I could see how people can misunderstand somebody claiming that we need to follow the Torah or the guideline instructions to have salvation. A young man contacted me the other day, and he said he's partaking in some sinful sexual desires, and is he going to hell? And people have contacted me in the past saying they've done something that's against the Torah or against the law, and are they going to hell and all this stuff? And there's a lot of ideas about hell and salvation and everything else, and the scriptures give somewhat of information about what's going and who's going and so on, but nobody's went literally and came back. And when we think about that, we have to have the understanding. If that's the case, then everything is just suspect or theory about exactly what happens in the process of when we leave our physical bodies. And we know scripture says judgment day is coming, and scripture's clear what it says, that it's up, not up to us, but it's up to our, the final judgment that comes from our wonderful Creator to decide ultimately where we are going to end up. The Bible gives wonderful references to discuss the things we need to be doing as believers and what sin is by transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. But works, going to heaven or going to hell by something we did or we didn't do, is borderline works doctrine and not salvation by grace. And I believe in both. I believe we are blessed by doing the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, by following and living according to the words of Yahshua, the one they called Jesus, as close as possible. However, our final salvation comes from our wonderful Creator, who's the final judge and decides where we're going to go. And the scripture says that He loves mercy, meaning even if we don't deserve it, we can still get it. So where we're going to end up, even if the scripture says, if you do this, this is what will happen. A merciful judge can overrule that, praise Yah, because we don't deserve Yeshua, and we don't deserve a righteous judgment, many of us, because of the way we're acting. So praise Yah that we have that opportunity. So if the way we're acting or living, if we're not following the Torah, if somebody is a so-called loving Christian who's not keeping the commandments of our Creator because of his lack of knowledge or something else, there's a scripture in Hosea that says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, what does destroyed mean? And then it goes on to say, because you have rejected me, I also reject you from being priest for me. Since you have forgotten my Torah, I will also forget your children. Well, what exactly does that mean? And when we come down to believe, understand this and see this, we have to, I want to just clarify. Now, there are people out there that are making videos that have far more viewers than I do. And I'm not doing this for viewership, but when I see people following certain doctrines out there, and it just makes me think about the mega church and how so many people like hearing a particular thing, then my antennas go up, because it says there are a few that will truly listen and understand what it means to suffer well. And there's a difference. I did a whole series about suffering versus suffering well, and we look at suffering. So when I see these videos about debates about should we be keeping Torah or not, in my opinion, it's borderline works by faith or works by salvation by works or salvation by grace. And salvation comes from the one and only judge, our wonderful creator, Yahweh, and he decides. You know, but what exactly does the scripture say about those that are living in sin? What do the scriptures say about that? Are we going to hell? Whatever that might be according to the scriptures. Are we definitely going to end up in hell? Do we have an opportunity to be saved if we're not following the Torah? Or if we've messed something up in our maybe lack of knowledge and we haven't done something the right way? Well, I think it's dangerous to say that we're saved by our works. And I'm not claiming that people that believe in certain things are suggesting that. As a matter of fact, other than Judaism and Islam, I don't know any Christian that's saying we're saved by works. However, works are not to be discounted. And I do know certain people that love Yeshua that are part of certain movements that claim if we're not doing the works, then we have no salvation. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous. It is not our call to judge that or not. But the scriptures do say about somebody not doing the works or the instructions of our Creator, that we are, that is what in fact sin is. Sin is transgression of the Torah, not keeping the Torah. That's what sin is. So if you're not doing something that the Bible says, you're sinning. If you're sinning, you are a sinner. And if we look in more that deeply, and we see what the scripture says, it says we're all sinners, or we're at least all born sinners. Now, do we have an opportunity to repent? And what happens to repent? Do we gain our salvation if we repent? The scriptures say in Acts, repentance brings refreshing. Doesn't say necessarily repentance brings salvation. Repentance brings refreshing. Well, what's that? Well, first look at what it says about sinners. It says in Psalms 51:5. Come over here. It says in Psalms 51:5. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fueling the desire of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Just as the others. In Romans 5:19. For just as though the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many were made righteous. And Romans 7:14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. And Psalms 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb, they go astray from birth, speaking lies. And Romans 3:11 says, there is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks Yahweh. So, here's the problem. Here's the question. What happens if we either choose to, or we end up, maybe not choosing to our understanding, but we end up living in sin, or making a practice of sin, or living against the Torah and the guidelines of our Creator? Do we automatically have freedom in that because Yeshua died for us and covered us with His blood? Or here's what the question comes down to. Are there consequences of sin, and what are they? Are there consequences of sin, and what are they? And there's many, many answers to this question that the Scriptures give us. But the main thing is, the most important aspect and gift and everything that we have as believers is the ability to go directly to our wonderful Father through prayer and speak to Him and have a conversation with Him. That's the most wonderful gift and blessing we have. Now, many will claim the gift we have is Yeshua dying for us and His blood that covers our sins. Our salvation doesn't begin when we accept Yeshua. Our salvation begins when we leave this earthly body and we stand in front of the judge. Or at least it begins when we accept Yeshua, and it ends when we or it's final when we stand in front of the judge. I don't want anyone to misunderstand that. Yeshua is everything. And without Yeshua dying for us, we have no opportunity to come to the Father. We have no opportunity even for the judge to listen. In other words, the Yeshua's blood opens up the courtroom for us. It opens up the courtroom for us. Yeshua dying for us opened up the courtroom and gave us that opportunity to become our own lawyers and stand before Yahweh on Salvation Day for Him to give us our judgment. Here's the thing. Without Yeshua, that courtroom's closed. That opportunity to come to Yahweh is closed. It's not even available. So the blessing of Yeshua, He gives us the opportunity to come before the Father. And now, as we sit before the judge, just like in any judge, we're going to be judged on how we lived our life. The Scriptures are clear on that. He's going to judge us on how we lived our life. And praise our wonderful Creator, He's merciful, because all have fallen short. However, what are the real consequences of sin? Yes, the final judgment to some degree is going to be determined on how we live our life according to Scripture. And the consequences and where we go after that, well, we'll find out then. But now, right now in our life, how is sin affecting us? Because it seems like sinners are thriving. Sin is everywhere. Sinners are enjoying many of the fleshly pleasures of this world. It seems almost like there's no punishment for sin, at least in this lifetime there isn't. But remember what I said. We have an amazing opportunity to come to the Father in prayer, to speak to Him on a daily basis. Some people and some groups, by reading Scripture, their interpretation is hell is not a physical place of a fiery pit with a devil and a pitchfork, but hell is separation from Yahweh for eternity. And there's a blessing in Scripture of being able to come to our Father and speak to Him. And if we're not praying, or if we're not even able to come to Him, that is some form of hell right here, right now. And when we think about praying, the question comes down to is, does our Creator answer the prayers of sinners? So sin is transgression of the law. Does our Creator answer those who are not keeping the Torah, the guidelines and instructions? And we take this to Scripture, and it says in Scripture what these answers are. And the answer is, in fact, there's a yes and there's a no. It says in John 9:31, we know that Yahweh does not listen to sinners. He listens to a godly person who does his will. That's what it says in John 9:31. Psalms 66:18 says, If I have cherished sin in my heart, Yahweh would have not listened. And Proverbs, which is another word for wisdom, 1:28-29:28 says, they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but I will not. They will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear Yahweh. And Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from Yahweh. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not listen. The book of Jeremiah goes on to further even say is, don't even pray for sinners, because Yahweh is not going to hear those prayers. So it's very clear in Scripture, the more we live a life against of the way Yahweh wants us to live, the less he communicates with us. The less he wants to speak to us and to reply for us. And some people tell me they pray all the time and they never hear from Yahweh. Well, you need to check how you're living your life. You know, and should we in fact not pray for sinners? And well, the Scriptures say we're wasting our breath if we pray for sinners because he's not listening, he's not answering, and he hears the prayers of the righteous, but not the prayers of the sinners. However, we got to think about what we're praying for. So if we're praying for a blessing or a healing or wisdom or knowledge or something, these are gifts that our Creator gives us in his communication with us, and only the righteous have that opportunity to speak to our Father about that. However, if a sinner prays Yeshua into his life, or prays that Yahweh would help him with his sin, admitting his guilt, truly wanting to repent, and this is where it comes into when we say Yahweh knows our heart. If a wicked sinner who's committed the worst of the worst things out there is ready to come and admit his guilt, Yahweh will hear that. Yahweh will hear that. And he will respond. We take the Apostle Paul, for example, Brother Shaul, who was the wicked of the most wicked. And didn't even pray to know who Yeshua was. And Yahweh came into his heart. See, Yahweh knows our destiny and our desires and ultimately the choices we're going to make. And he gives us these opportunities over and over again. We take Pharaoh as an example in Egypt. When Moses came into him, he gave him opportunity after opportunity to repent and set the children free and not chase them. But his heart was hard. His heart was hard. His heart was hard. You know, Yahweh gives us opportunities to call upon him, to see him. And some of us consider these things as tragedies. Oh, this person's in jail. Oh, this person got in a car accident. Oh, this person did this. No, Yahweh creates situations and will take it as far as he needs to give us these opportunities to give up our reliance and hope on everything in the world but him. Whether it's from a disease or from some other type of major so-called tragedy, Yahweh wants to get us to a place where we just give up hope in everyone except him. And to come to him and to follow him and speak to him. So this is what I'm saying is, regardless of what you call yourself, what you title yourself and everything else, what I'm saying is, from my understanding of Scripture, the more we're obedient to following the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. The more we follow His Torah, the better we are going to hear from Him. It doesn't completely 100% exclude us if we're not following it, because sometimes people in the Sinhol reach them and people hear from them and change. But the communication is going to be much clearer if we're following and living according to His guidelines. And the more we get closer to that, the more we hear Him. The less we're close to that, the less we hear Him. And our life here is going to be enhanced by being in communication with Him. There's no doubt that as sinners, we deserve hell, or whatever the idea of hell may be. There's no doubt of that. So we get that. And we get that there are some people going to a place that's called hell. It's clear in the scriptures that that's going to happen. But we have to understand that the righteous didn't need Yeshua. It was the sinners He came. It was the sinners He came for. And the scriptures say, is no man righteous? There is no one righteous. Well, we're all born into sin, right? So we all need Yeshua. We all need Yeshua. And hallelujah. Mark 2:17 says, on hearing this, Yeshua said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. We need to get this right. And the first part of righteousness is admitting that we're sinners. Those that believe they're righteous, but are not in fact living to the knowledge and wisdom of who Yahweh is and what He could do for us. I have not called to the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Luke 5:32. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You understand? I'm going to say it again. The first part of righteousness is to acknowledge that you are a sinner. But it doesn't end there. See, that's where Christianity ends it. Oh, acknowledge you're a sinner. But many of them don't do anything about their sin. The first part is to acknowledge you are a sinner. But now you got to do something about the sin. Repentance doesn't mean to just acknowledge you've sinned or you're a sinner. Repentance means you're going to change your mind and your actions will follow and your ways will follow. And now you'll stop sinning and you'll start following our wonderful Creator and how He wants us to live. So we have to get this and believe this. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yes, we're born into sin. We're sinners. But Yeshua can help bring us closer to Father Yahweh. And when there are these debates of should we keep Torah or should we not keep Torah? Let's translate that instead into a better language and saying, how can we best get closer to our wonderful Creator? How can we best be in communication with Him? And the more we're creating these habits of living according to His guidelines and instructions, and what creates those habits, reading our scriptures, practicing the instructions He told us to practice, the more we do, the more He's going to open up our eyes to do more and to see more. Those eyes that are close to this, because those aren't the ones ready to respond to the call of being righteous according to what Scripture says. It says in James 4:8, come near to Yahweh and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. We need to come to Him as one, not as two, so He can bless us and bless us tremendously. So I want the language, or I would like the language to be more clear, whether you're on the side of we're Christians and we have salvation through blood, so we no longer need to do the law. Well, that's saying the works. That means we don't need to follow a righteous life as we have salvation through blood. No. Remember, that blood's going to get you in the courtroom, but we're still judged for our lives. But for those of you that are promoting the side of, whether it's called the Hebraic roots or the Messianic faith that say, you know, we keep the law so we have salvation. There is something to say for the grace. And our chances are much better when we stand in front of the judge and he looks at our record of our life and he says, righteous, 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 righteous. And if some part of his judgment is going to come on the way we lived our life, that's going to secure us a solid spot. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. But it's still his judgment to make. There's no automatics here. We still have to stand in front of the judge before we get our sentence or get our acquittal. So I want to make this clear. Salvation comes from Yahweh, not from our works. But our works are going to make us stand pretty good in front of the judge. Every single person that accepts Yeshua as the Messiah is accepting a position in that courtroom. And I cannot see why anyone who's reading the Bible would not want to have that opportunity if you're living a life of righteousness. But if you're living a life that goes completely against this record, can't see why somebody would want to stand in front of him because they know how the outcome's not looking too good. So you all have a choice. And it's not about titles. It's not about the Jewish people versus the non-Jewish people. It's not about this group versus that group. It's not even about Judaism or Islam or Muslims and Christians. No, it's about, do you want to communicate with Yahweh and do you want him to communicate with you? If you do that, what the Bible's saying and what Yeshua is giving the example is, prayer is the most powerful thing we have. And to be in communication, which is what prayer is with our Creator, and to hear from Him, the lines of communication are going to be much more open. And we're going to hear from Him much more clearly if we're living a life according to Scripture. I pray this video and this audio, depending where you're listening, has helped you understand this more clearly. Please post your questions or your comments and get in touch with me. And have a blessed day. And Yahweh be with you all. And shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. I'm Rick Addison, pastor of The Grace Place. Our New Year's sermon series is entitled A New You in 2022. Join us for worship Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at thegraceplace.com/watch. We're located at 1550 Salerno Road, Stuart, Florida. You can call us at 772-287-6388. At The Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.